Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Welcome to prime time, bitch!
Good morning and welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We are back for another hour here on Saturday morning. I'm Matt, got your co-host Matt, and we have a special guest in the studio today. We have Tina from Black Widow Yoga. How are you?
I'm great, how are you?
Excellent, thank you for joining us nice and early here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So very happy to have you on. Before we get to talking Black Widow Yoga, real quick, if you want to call in here, the numbers are 855-915-WMFO, that's 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. We will probably have a quick abbreviated week in metal history later on, as well as the concert calendar.
Could be quick.
There's literally only one day of shows to talk about, so we'll get to that. But yeah, we're going to jump right in here. So, Tina, again, thank you for joining. And
yeah.
Why don't we just start off? I know that you've talked about this a bit. It's on your website, but why don't you tell us what Black Widow Yoga is and how it came about?
Cool, yeah. So I started Black Widow Yoga, I think it was 2016, technically. Oh, man. I think it was, yeah, actually 2017, the beginning of the year. So I had been practicing my yoga practice to metal music for a few months before that. My father was really sick with cancer, and it was getting really bad, and I was kind of feeling lost and not sure how to cope with the situation. And it felt really odd and dishonest to, I guess, personally practice my yoga to, like, you know, the classical yoga music you'd hear at, like, when you go to a class. So I started playing, you know, metal music I would listen to normally, and reaching out to other bands and, you know, talking to my friends, like, what other bands make you feel this way? So I started getting into that. My personal practice got, you know, just into metal. There was nothing else I would play. And yeah, I started realizing that it helped ease my anxiety and depression about the situation, especially after he passed away. And I knew that there were other people like me. So I started Black Widow Yoga, kind of the silver lining of my experience, I guess. And yeah, it's been just me. I kind of talk about it like it's a bunch of people, but it's just me. So it's been really fun to kind of start something, do it on my own, be my own boss, and create something that's like purely mine and I get to share with people.
That's great. What, in terms of using music and I guess the practice of yoga as like a anxiety or grief coping mechanism, like what about the music I guess helps with that? What about the type of music that you're listening to?
Yeah, so I guess there are just like themes in a lot of types of metal, of like darkness, and I guess sometimes it goes over the top and it's very theatrical, and it can be, you know, obviously more of a metaphor than some being, you know, chopping someone's heads off, you know.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I think that because there are themes of darkness, it kind of, I don't know, it feels good to listen to something that matches how you feel, and it's using that darkness in a creative way, and it doesn't necessarily have to always be something that just you are going through. So it kind of just makes you feel like you're not alone.
And you feel like you could turn into kind of some of the darkness too and like turn it around, as mm-hmm. opposed to like, oh, I'm feeling down, so I'm going to listen to something really like poppy and fun.
Yeah, and that's something I talk a lot about in my class, is it's human and natural to feel anger and depression and anxiety. And the more we try to like say good vibes and just spread good vibes, everyone, no negativity here, I think that's, you know, that's total BS. And we shouldn't encourage people to run away from their feelings. We should encourage them to deal with them in a responsible, you know, a responsible way. That's obviously, I don't want someone to have like a fist fight in the middle of the street because they're angry.
Yeah.
But if you deal with those feelings in a space that's safe for you, like in a yoga class, so you can like scream and have fun and, you know, feel good afterwards, then you won't need to pretend like, you know, you're good vibes all the time, yoga person.
I think that's great. I had a similar experience with, like, I've always been like a fan of metal music and darker music, I guess, but my mom got sick with cancer in 2014, passed in 2016, and I just felt like, you know, instead of trying to go to stuff that was like happier, like classic rock stuff, it really turned into kind of, I don't know, your like black metal stuff and like really depressing sounding stuff, and it actually made me feel much more in control, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And I've seen a few studies people have also shared with me of people who listen to like more aggressive, thrashy, or just darker music in general have like, it shows signs of lowering anxiety levels.
Yeah.
So it depends on how your mind works, obviously. If you get anxiety from listening to fast music, then that's not for you.
Sure.
But yeah, that's funny because that's like the same time period we're talking about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I think it's just so common for people to run from how they feel and feel ashamed of depression that it can be dealt with in a horrible manner. And I think, you know, yoga obviously is a great way to deal with a lot of issues. Obviously, it's not the same thing as going to see a therapist or if you need medication, whatever sure. you need for yourself personally. But it can be, you know, something that will help you in addition to other things.
That's cool. Awesome.
And that kind of whole aspect is interesting to me because a lot of people, I know, like, when I think about yoga, it's more, I think about it as a fitness opportunity
yes.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, so how do you talk to people? And do most people see it that way? Do they see it as more of the mental side? Or, and how do you talk to people who may just think of it as just another fitness class or something like that, as something deeper and therapeutic?
When I took my training with South Boston Yoga, David and Todd, they were like the most amazing teachers and taught that amongst everything else they taught me was let the yoga speak for itself. Obviously you can come in with your reading, you can have your class and your sequencing and you want them to feel a certain thing in their back or whatever and say something nice and pretty and whatever the message you want to spread. But you don't have to force someone to feel a certain way about yoga. You can let them kind of internally discover that on their own. Like if someone's in a pose and I feel like, you know, maybe I can say something to make them feel a certain way. It's like, well, I don't really have to do that. They're probably feeling that. I don't know what they're feeling. I'm going to let them have that experience on their own because if you're taking time to kind of pay attention to your own body with stretching and just meditation in general, you're probably getting the effects that, you know, are ideal.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about choosing, whether it's just for yourself or when you're teaching a class, like choosing your playlist and just, you have some of the samples on your website and it can be a pretty big range of bands like Isis, Russian Circles, you have Metallica playlist, you have Converge. So how do you mm-hmm. choose that? Is it kind of like spur of the moment stuff or do you plan ahead?
I guess depends on if I work that day and I have like an hour to play in a playlist. Sometimes it just has to do with my mood. Sometimes I'm angry and I'm like, I want to play like a couple thrash songs. Not always like the best to play during a yoga class, so I try to limit the thrash. But for example, like I saw Russian Circles a few months ago and I just was so inspired by that show. It was so amazing. I have like goosebumps thinking about it. They're just an amazing band. I played like the next couple weeks, I just played all Russian Circles related bands on Spotify and just like only played those types of bands. So it really just, it sometimes is my mood. I also take a lot of recommendations from people so that they can come to class and like, oh, I know this song. This makes me feel welcome. I also have themed classes. Like I'll have a Metallica theme class or I'm trying to think of the like 80s hair metal theme.
Okay.
I had like a stoner metal yoga class, which is probably my favorite style of metal. It's like more stoner. Yeah, doomy stuff. So I guess I do err on the side of doom and stoner metal.
And I guess to me that would make sense if I was going to do yoga class, like never having done it before, like that style of music. Do you, because I feel like if there are some bands, like if I was doing yoga and then a certain song came on that I recognized and really liked or really didn't like, it could affect kind of the practice. Do you ever run into that? Or any of the students taking it? Okay.
I mean, so when I was in high school, I would always go on runs and only play like female vocalists because I was like, you know, it has to pump you up. You have to run for so many miles and you want to feel like powerful. So maybe obviously you play something that speaks to you more personally. But I found that when I play certain artists, they like speak to me closer. So I'll play those things and feel better, especially if it's a female vocalist. I don't know if you ever heard of Acid King. They're one of my favorites to play when I do yoga. She is just so cool. Like, you can definitely find her on the back of a motorcycle somewhere. Or, I'm sorry, not on the back of a motorcycle. Driving the motorcycle. That's for sure. On the front of it. Yeah.
I feel like Doom and Stoner make sense, too. I mean, I can't do yoga. I tried to do the P90X yoga once, and I injured myself.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
do you ever see those commercials for, like, you know, those like home exercise programs you get on
DVD? Oh, like Daily Burn and stuff on Roku.
Yep. So I tried to do that yoga in the morning. I'm like, I gotta stretch. I can't even like tie my shoes. And it was no good.
The thing about yoga and when people say like, I can't do yoga, it's almost like saying I have too many problems to go to therapy.
True.
It's like, isn't that the whole point?
Right.
Like if you feel like you want to stretch more, like the way to feel more flexible and stretchy and whatever is to do it.
Makes sense.
So it's the initial step that's hard for sure.
Totally.
Do you think that a class like Black Widow Yoga, does that make it more, have you noticed people that, whether it's the metal community or otherwise, that wouldn't do yoga are now more encouraged to do that, to take that first step?
Definitely. I think that there's a huge trend of, I'm sure most people have noticed this, of like witchcraft and things that are black and doomy and scary and witchy and all that cool stuff is super trendy right now, and it's becoming the mainstream in a sort of way. So it's this mainstream of the yoga community of this like perfect, thin, I mean, I'm a white woman, I will say, white woman, you know, very, but the thing is like upper class. I think the yoga community has been taken over by the upper class because it's just so expensive to run a studio. Classes are so expensive, and it's seen as a luxury to be able to take an hour, hour and a half out of your day to stretch rather than, you know, feed your kids, whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
So I think it's bringing yoga back down to the people. I try to make my classes as affordable as possible, and if people can't afford it, I encourage them to email me and we'll work something out. So I definitely think it's a super positive thing, not only to make it a little different, put a little spice in the yoga practice and make it more, appealing to other people, but also brings it back down to earth and like, gets rid of that, you know, privilege flair a little bit.
It is odd that it's like so expensive and privileged and like kind of exclusive because you're just like no equipment. You're just stretching. It's just you yourself. It's kind of an interesting thought, actually.
Yeah, I use props, but I don't require props to be brought. Like, if you don't have a mat, just tell me. I'll bring you a mat. Like, I've had people say, like, I can't afford classes now. And that breaks my heart because I was there. I had to stop taking classes for a long time because I was just so broke. You know, because college loans and rent is just unbearable. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
And sort of along those lines too, was it difficult to kind of get the classes off the ground initially and like trying to pitch it to people? What was kind of that initial reaction and how was it trying to get classes going consistently?
It was actually so easy, and I felt like I was filling this void that was so desperately needed to be filled, especially in Salem. I had the idea like a while before I started like actively trying to pursue it, and I just wasn't ready to like put my energy into it. And when I decided I was ready, I was just surrounded by so many people that were like the Murray brothers from Black Veil, Ryan and Matthew helped me draw my logo, and they just gave me the logo. They didn't even make me like, you know, do anything for them. They just were so kind and gave me this beautiful piece of artwork that's basically shaped my brand and made people recognize me. That's been a huge factor. So they helped me a lot. The Satanic Temple took me in. I emailed the manager at the time, who's a friend of mine now, and I was like, what do you think about metal yoga happening at the temple? You know, kind of like spiritual theme almost, you know, obviously as that like rough on the edges kind of feel. And he was like, yeah, come in, see the space. Space was gorgeous. It's like very like old timey, like old funeral home, with these, you know, red curtains and just satanic sculptures and paintings everywhere. And it was just like meant to be. So people really like those, the metal yoga at the temple pairing and branding. And I think that really helped me.
Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right, let's take a quick break right now. We'll play a song. So, you had sent a few songs to choose from, kind of indicative of what you might play at a class. So let's start off with the band Windhaven and Grey Garden.
Oh, Windhand.
Or sorry, Windhand. My bad.
Boom.
Totally read it.
It's okay. They're from Boston, though, so okay. They're gonna come after you now.
I know. If they're listening, it's not.
Wasn't me. It was the other.
This was actually an easy one to pronounce. I just read it wrong.
It's okay. It's early.
When we do the it's early. When we do the
concert list, calendar,
you'll hear all the hesitation and incorrect wordings. I announced one band one time. They had broken up. I said that they broke up, and then they heard the show, and they're like, "Oh, we're actually back together now." But then they were all laughing at how I pronounced one of their names because it was totally wrong. So anyway, this is Windhand. This is the song "Grey Garden," and anything specifically about the song?
It's a single that's going to come out on the new album in October. I forget what it's called, but I'm excited for their new album to come out.
All right, excellent. So we're going to play that now. You're listening to Brutal Brunch here, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org, live here with Tina from Black Widow Yoga, and here is Windhand. Welcome back to Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 WMFO.org. That was Windhand. That was Grey Garden. And that was one of the songs that Tina from Black Widow Yoga recommended that you can hear at her classes. And that is off the upcoming album called Eternal Return. So very look good. For that to drop. And you highly recommend their live show.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. So, actually, Matt, why don't you just take it away?
Okay, here we go. This Week in Metal, we're going to do a nice abbreviated version. First, I'm going to torture everyone in the studio. This is things that happened in the history of metal music and I guess other things. Sometimes it kind of goes off the rails. So it's 19th to the 25th of August. Here we go. The president's favorite rapper released an album August 20th. I think it's 96, 98? Devil Without a Cause by Kid Rock came out. That's awful. August 19th, 1988. Didn't come out.
I remember that.
Do you remember this album?
Yes.
Because you should.
Quite unfortunate.
I was in eighth grade.
There's the soundtrack to high school or middle school.
You know, I can't say that I don't like the song Bull God. I can't.
I can't.
August 19th, 1988. Liege Lord releases the album Master Control, pioneers of modern power metal. This is Fallout off Master Control, which obviously one of the things about this segment that I like is finding bands like Liege Lord, where I'm like, this is fun, this is great. I also thought this sounded a lot like the Four Horsemen theme from the WCW in the 90s. Agree?
Maybe that's how they did it, because the NWO was Jimi Hendrix, right?
Basically. Okay. Pushing forward, August 19th, 1996. This could be our black metal song of the week if we have time. Cradle of Filth releases the album Dusk in Her Embrace. Cradle of Filth, as I was complaining to you, Matt, was snubbed by Kerrang's
awful. I think it was Metal Hammer.
Was it Metal Hammer? Either way, it was bad. Top 40 metal acts of all time, black metal acts of all time.
Black metal albums.
Albums or acts?
Albums.
Albums, okay. The end of this album ends with a speech by Cronus from Venom on the track Haunted Shores. Obviously, I love the theatrics of Danny Filth and Cradle of Filth, so I'm happy that this album came out in 96.
Tina, do you incorporate black metal at all into your classes?
It's not a lot when he starts going.
Not really. Honestly, just because it's hard to talk over it. And yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just hard to like lead people in a pose and be like, all right, do this. And then it's just all this...
So there's all like different, much like everything, which is exciting about the metal as like a big, tent, is like in every genre there's like your like little micro type. So like even like your Death Heaven or Ghost Bath, where it's less like Danny's gonna start screaming, it's gonna be stressful, but more like long silences and like I don't know, but yeah, you can't take it. Man, he's the best. August 19th, 2002.
Danny Filth of Jackass, man.
2002. Doro, Matt, do you remember Doro?
Yeah.
We've talked about Doro a couple times. Doro Pesch, German, like, power metal lady who's been doing it since, like, the 80s.
Didn't she just come out with a new album?
She did, I think so. But this is from 2002's Fight! Exclamation mark. It was, like, a lot of guest spots on this album, so this is her in, show favorite Peter Steele. It doesn't make sense because she's singing way up here and he's way down here, so it sounds kind of stressful.
I like how you're using the word stressful to describe.
It's like I want to hear.
I know.
Do I want to hear Peter Steele? Do I want to hear like 80s high vocals?
It's harmony, man. It's extreme harmony.
It's a lot. It's really Doro's good. Speaking of typo negative, August 20th, 1996, they released October Rust. This is Love You to Death off that album. This is when they decided to be like less doom and more like, we're just going to let Peter Steele do ballads like a vampire, which is more like, that's where I come from. That's my Peter Steele fandom. Like, let him do ballads like a vampire. Man, he's so good. Okay. Matt's favorite bands will be coming up next. August 20th, 1996, Merciful Fate with King Diamond releases their commercial success, their biggest commercial success, Into the Unknown. Pretty good, right?
It's good until they start singing. I'm not a King Diamond fan.
King Diamond's a thing.
Like, these kind of metal bands remind me of what would be on the cover of, like, an alternative erotic novel.
Yes.
Just, like, big guys without shirts, like, long hair, like, wearing some leather strap.
Yeah, man. Like, the band at the end of this list is, like, it's named after a Lord of the Rings, like, place.
It's a big market tease.
It's all, like, yeah, buff dudes, like, looking like this with, like, a sword.
That's where it's
at sometimes. Sometimes.
Hitting the core on that.
Well, thing, yeah. But speaking of the Church of Satan, King Diamond is a minister in the Church of Satan, or I don't know what the ranks are, but he is a member of the Church of Satan.
There are different sects also of different, Satanism. Yeah. They're all different.
I don't know if he's the, like, Anton LaVey, because they're like the Anton LaVey, right? The one in Salem? More of the, like, humanist, basically.
I just know very little about, like, the politics of the differences.
Sure.
And, like, the actual, like, you know, what they read and what they follow, who they follow. I just know that the Satanic Temple holds my classes.
That's fair.
That's kind of the extent of what I... And I know, like, I agree with their politics for the most part. Other than that, I don't really know. So...
That's fair.
I know they're very feminist and, you know...
So, like, the LaVey, or whatever you want to call it, is more like, look, we use the image of Baphomet or Satan just to be, like, counter to, like, the oppression of, like, other religions.
I don't know if, you know, which, you know, book TST uses which train of thought they use, but I know that, Satanists in general use the image of Baphomet and the devil as kind of like a, taking what Catholics and Christians have painted already and just being like, all right, you like this image, we're going to own it and use it as our God, basically.
Sure.
Even though we don't believe in God, we're using it as a God that is in ourselves.
Exactly.
The manifestation being of ourselves and like a darker part of us.
Totally. As opposed to, like, no, we literally believe in the biblical devil, which is inaccurate.
Correct.
Right? Honestly, that's the Satanic Temple protest that just happened in Arkansas.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
We were talking earlier, they shipped their Baphomet statue out to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. It was in Salem. I had the pleasure of sitting on Baphomet's lap at one point. but yeah, they shipped it like a week and a half ago or something.
Okay. Let's we'll start wrapping this thing up with more King Diamond. Matt, this is off the album Conspiracy, which is a sequel to the album. Do you know the sequel to the album? What sequel it is?
I've lost track of it.
It's a sequel to the album Them. So it's a story about King Diamond goes to a house. He moves into a house. The house is infested by demons of some kind. It's the House of Amon. He thinks he's living there with his grandmother. It's actually not his grandmother. She's just like a puppet of this monster. And at the end of Them, man, such a high register. At the end of Them, he ends up killing his grandmother. And then this picks up after that, where he's trying to take over the demon house. It doesn't work. It's just
shockingly.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work out for King Diamond.
Does he have a spoken word version of this? Because that was one of the things with King Diamond, is that somebody let me borrow a DVD one time. And I thought it was, like, going to be like an actual short, like, accompanying the music. And it was just him sitting down at his table telling the story.
He'll read the lyrics. If you listen to it, it is just the story. Like, it's like, then this happened, then he said this and she said that, and they went over there. Like, it's not structured like a song. Let's wrap it up. Seer Thungol, which, as I said before, is named after a stronghold of the orcs in Mordor from the Lord of the Rings, released their final studio album, Paradise Lost, before reuniting in 2011. Here, I'm just going to show you the cover, because I think this is exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a
Not as good as Manowar.
Manowar.
They're like the epitome of that.
Well, because those guys would just take a picture of themselves wearing like leather diapers and stuff like that. And that's a lot.
I'm now the proud owner of Manowar album. Thanks to Matt.
I thought you were going
to
say a leather diaper.
I mean, to each his own.
It would be preferable to the album.
To each his own. That'll do it for This Week in Metal History. I would say, if you can look past the silly artwork of Cirith Ungol, they're a very good band.
All right, so now, real quick, the Week in Metal yet to come. Mostly just shows tonight. Nothing during the week. So tonight, at the Middle East, it's Without Warning, Relapse, Ruby Fruit Jungle. At Ralph's, you can see Swarm of Eyes, Innocuous, Texas Death Match, 6-1, and Dumpster Fire. I was going to say, they...
I thought they were...
They were the ones at the that told the joke, right? At the
yes, they did the theme song for like the Fresh Prince.
Yep, yep. So good to see that they're back together.
Good.
The big one at Xfinity Center tonight, Godsmack, Shinedown, and Red Sun Rising. I hope Scorch will be there. Which we forgot to mention earlier, this was a 10-year anniversary of us going to see Lockdown in
Lowell. Oh my god.
Where Scorch was. Anyway, at the Palladium today, later, the Crankin' Skankin' Festival featuring the Mighty Mighty Boston, Toots and the Maytails, Bouncing Souls, Fishbone, Big D, the Planet Smashers, Pie Tasters, Doped Up Dollies, Michael Caine, and Morning Afters, the Hempsteadies, Sweet Babylon, and Color Killer.
Catch me there. I'll be there.
That's like the third thing about ska I've heard in the past 2 days.
It's back.
Is it back?
I don't know.
Okay, can I quickly tell a meme I saw? It said, ska is the music that plays in a 13-year-old's mind when he gets extra mozzarella sticks.
There was another, a great, because I only go back with another ska meme that I saw, was, it was a picture of a guy stuck in traffic, and it's like, trumpet player can't make it to ska show, so poor punk band plays in its place, meaning like, it's just like a bad punk band without the trumpet.
Yeah.
It's fun. You jump around. You dance. It's gonna be like 90
today. It's fun. That's the thing I liked when I was like younger. I liked to dance around, so that's why I liked it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. The Less Than Jake Circle Pit was the highlight of Warthor this year.
That's crazy that you're saying those
felt
words.
Cool.
I went from there was Unearth on one stage, and then we moved over to Less Than Jake. It's perfect. Another show tonight. A Poor Richard's out in Chicopee. Mark Rizzo of Soulfly, along with One Ton Tommy Gunn, Grizzly Curse, and Once Were. And RPM Fest is this weekend, Saturday and tonight and tomorrow. Some of the local bands that you can see real quick are here's a band that I can never pronounce: Vivisepulture, The Humanoids, Cortez, Epicenter, Black Mass, Graviton, Sonic Pulse, Goblet, and Oxen, Crow Rider, and Worshipper. At least off the top of my head, those are the Massachusetts bands playing.
Sounds good, mate.
So yeah, and then that's it. Nothing else during the week. No more shows until next weekend, which is Labor Day weekend. So probably not any shows then either. Anyway, we'll play another song now. Satina, is there anything that you, of the songs that you sent, that you are particularly partial to this morning?
I forget what I sent you.
We have Sleep, Marijuana's Theme, The Sword, Winter's Wolves, Russian Circles, Voral, Black Sabbath, Sweet Leaf.
Let's play Russian Circles, because... that song is awesome. There's like a really awesome build up, and it'll wake you up.
Nice.
Perfect. So let's do that. This is Voral off the album Guidance by Russian Circles, and you're hearing it on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Again, we have Tina from Blackwater Yoga in studio, and we will be back to talk to her some more after the song.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Before the PSA, you heard Russian Circles. That was a song of Oral off their album Guidance. And we are back. Got about 15 minutes left of the show. We're here with Tina from Black Widow Yoga. And have some more questions for you. So both the class and the brand and yoga in general. So you mentioned the Satanic Temple, and you also hold classes at Down to Earth Body Works. And you have pop-up shows, too. So kind of how did you, outside the Satanic Temple, how did you get set up with Down to Earth? And then how do you go about setting up these kind of one-off shows? Or not shows, classes.
I like to think of them as shows. So I was doing the classes at the Satanic Temple pretty much every week since I, you know, contacted them a year and a half ago in February 2017. They started changing management a little bit, trying to figure out their busy season in October. We talked about this before a little bit. But they wanted to kind of figure out their schedule before setting a solid weekly schedule with me when October is approaching. So I reached out to my friend Lauren at Down Earth Body Works on Cabot Street in Beverly. We used to go to high school together, and she was like, hey, if you want to rent space, you know, because I have my own software, as do other yoga studios, so I can't actually go to a yoga studio that, like a normal one, and just do my class because I have my own clientele. So I wanted to do my own little PSA. If you want to have a yoga class, Black Widow yoga class at, you know, your space, preferably a non-yoga space, non-traditional space, reach out, because it looks like I'll be doing more pop-up stuff. And like you said, I basically decide, does it match the feel? Like, I had a few classes at Black Veil, who drew my logo, once Somerville, I think. Are they still closing?
They're currently closed, I want to say. I think they'll be back in September or October.
So they're reopening for reals, not just for, you know, temporary, right?
As far as I know, because they had to recover from, like, the vandalism and robbery, whatever it happened. So they're, taking some time off, but they already have stuff booked for...
Okay, good. Yeah, so I had been doing classes, like, once a month there for a while until, like, some of that stuff happened. But Once is awesome. I love that venue. They are nothing but nice to me every time I reach out to them. And they book the best metal shows on the North Shore, and I mean, you know, East Coast. Notch, I've been having classes there once a month for a while now. Their beer is amazing, nice session style, perfect for me, that, like, you know, gets drunk off one beer kind of girl. So they're also my neighbor. I live across the street basically from them, and Mary Ellen and Chris, the owners, are super nice. And Mary Ellen is, like, totally awesome, was in a band. I think she won, Boston rock show, like the competition that they do.
Is it the Boston Music Awards or the Rock and Roll Rumble?
Yes, she won that when she was younger. She's just really cool. I want to be her. Notch is awesome. Been doing it there for a while, and cool spaces.
A lot of those kind of spaces in Salem too. It seems like they're really pushing to get more. Like, were you ever at, what is it? Not, this is like the two Chinese restaurants across the street. Because
we haven't said that, we haven't listed them in a long time. But is Kodo still around?
Kodo and Opus.
Yeah. It is a joke in Salem where, do you want good sushi? Go to, you know, Kodo. If you want expensive sushi, go to Opus. So, I love Opus. Their shows are awesome. Kodo. I like to eat there too, and their shows are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend Harley books those shows. I think he's doing an Opus now. But yeah, Salem's got a lot going on right now. Definitely building up like on that gothy metal feel that's going on like in the world.
As you should when you're in Salem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Halloween.
Profit off that. Get people in there. Except, you know, it's gentrifying the place even more. So 911, help me, my rent.
Ellen, and we were talking off air about horror movies, and we went to horror movie trivia at Kodo.
They were wrong. Interesting. On one of the questions.
They were.
There were some disputes. Not just me. It was other people in the crowd as well.
Uh-oh.
So, actually, I wanted to ask, one of the events that you have scheduled coming up on August 30th it's yoga and then a tarot energy balance workshop. So, mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, my friend Katie and I, we've been doing some yoga tarot workshop. She's a tarot master. She started her own company recently called Keyholders Collective, I believe. Oh, she's going to kill me if I got it wrong. I'm sorry, Katie, if that's not how you say it. But she just started her own business, and we've been collaborating on, like, yoga tarot events. And I just love the way that she reads tarot. She's not wooey about it, as she says. She's like, tarot is an exercise. It's a psychological exercise that can help you discover things about yourself. And it doesn't have to be about witchcraft or magic. It can be just about, you know, using art, using this like this ancient thing, maybe not ancient, but this like older practice of reading tarot cards to discover something new about like how you think about yourself and your life. And you know, it can help you plan your future, it can help you think about your past, it can help you like digest things that are going on in your life that you maybe like are having trouble with. So yeah, the workshop's basically 2 hours at Cauldron Black in Salem. They're a super awesome business. I love them. It's going to start with Katie doing a small kind of past and future reading with two major arcana cards. And I incorporate those two cards in the yoga practice that follows that and kind of use yoga as a representation of moving through your past to the future, whatever card, using that as like a metaphor, whatever card you have is like a metaphor of how you're moving through your situation. And then my friend Mike makes these tarot things, pins and patches and shirts, Shining Moon Studio. I should check his Etsy out. It's really cool. You get like a pin and a journal. You can like journal about, you know, your life.
That's cool.
As you do.
When does that happen?
August 30th, Thursday, 7 to 9. Check and that. You can go on MindBody, which is an app on your phone, or my website, blackwoodyoga.com, and sign up. It's $40. I think there's like 3 spots left, so it'll be fun.
That's awesome. I've had my palm read. I've never done tarot, but
it's super. You should try it. Worth your time.
Excellent. And how widespread is metal yoga at this point? I know that you mentioned on your website, Metal Yoga Bones, you're seeing it at festivals and different places now. Mm-hmm. So where do you see it going from here?
I think it depends on like this whole trend of like gothiness and metal being popular in mainstream, you know, culture. I think it'll grow as much as that grows and continues to grow, just because fitness classes and yoga especially is a really hard thing to keep clients consistently going to. So that's why it's just kind of as basic as possible, because you want to include everyone and not make it too niche, you know, whatever. Because no matter how many people like reach out to me saying they want to come, saying they know my brand, saying they love my look and all these things and love what I'm doing, actually getting that person to a yoga class is really hard, because you know, people don't always want to work out. Like same with me, I'll like sign up for a yoga class and cancel, be like, I want to watch Handmaid's Tale and like smoke or something. So yeah, so that's the biggest challenge. But I definitely think metal yoga is growing a lot, and it's opening up new people to yoga, which is always the goal. So yeah.
And how do you talk to people who do think it looks cool, but they're hesitant to get out and try it?
Yeah, so I always, you know, try to like emphasize that I teach like a moderate all levels class. I try to teach a class that is inclusive of every level, meaning I'll teach this like sequence, and then I'll say, if you want to do this, you can try this. If you want to get into a crazy arm balance like this, maybe you're like, heck no, I'm not doing that. Or maybe you're like, yeah, I want to try that and try something new. Maybe, you know, learn something or, you know, achieve something that more than I thought I could today. So kind of giving the opportunity of reaching a higher level while at the same time teaching to every level.
Good for beginners, so, folks just like walking in off the street.
Exactly.
Like, try this out.
People are just, and every class is all levels, especially if you know how to modify for yourself. I think that's something that I would love to teach more to is if you come into a class, even if it's like level 10, there's still a way to do it when you're like an elderly grandma, just like modifying everything so you don't hurt yourself.
That's what I'm going to do, the grandma.
The grandma, bring the fold-up chair.
Yeah, I'll do the chair. Chairs are sized.
You don't even need a mat at that point. You just sit on a chair, just kind of move your neck a few times.
That's about it.
That is cool, though, because I've always, like the random classes I've done claim to be all levels or whatever, but you kind of go in and everybody's just doing the same thing, and I feel, because I'm, would definitely be a beginner, I'm just kind of like trying to look at the, like, keep looking up at the teacher and be more worried about what I'm doing as opposed to actually getting into it, so.
That's why I always turn the lights down and kind of make it as dark. Well, in the temple, I would, like, light all these candles, and it would be super dark, just to emphasize the fact that you're supposed to make it about your body and not anyone else's body, kind of thing, so.
All right, so how do people sign up if they want to do a class?
So you can download the MindBody app, and you can look up Black Widow Yoga, Salem, Mass. Actually, right now, I think it's under Beverly, Mass, because I'm doing classes there. It's also good to go on my website, blackwidowyoga.com/events. You can read more about it. There's different tabs like press and, you know, contact me if you want to have me in your space or you want to ask me a question. You can also email me at tina@blackwidowyoga.com. Pretty good at answering emails. So if you have any questions or if you have any, you know, where you would like me to go or, yeah, feel free to contact me.
Great.
Awesome. You're still on Facebook, Black Widow Yoga, Instagram.
Oh, yeah. One more thing, actually. September 8th, I'm doing class at Castle Island Brewing in Norwood. I think it's a Saturday morning at 10:30. It's a really cool brewery. It's not at Castle Island in South Boston. It's in Norwood. It's confusing. But
that is confusing. September 8th.
September 8th, yeah.
All right, excellent. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap things up here?
Actually, yeah. Let me, I brought one. I feel bad because I had been talking to this Matt and not both Matts, so
this
I got...
the main Matt. I'm like the...
Are you the main Matt?
That's the main Matt. I'm the, like...
I'm like the host and producer, and he's like the...
But I only brought one. That's why I feel bad. So you can fight over this shirt.
Okay. Perfect. I think that's a Matt size
I only
shirt.
Have an XL... because I ran out of all the other cards. But this is a gift.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So that's all. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on down.
Thanks for coming on.
Nice and early on a Saturday morning.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. And so, yeah, again, blackwidowyoga.com. Thank you, Tina, for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
And we have Mike on the mic ready to go coming up next. And we are going to sign off with, I went ahead and choose one because I wanted to hear the sword. This is going to be Winter's Wolves. Which is a, do you play a sword a lot at classes?
I like them a lot. Okay. I play them personally too, so.
Okay, excellent. So we're going to play that for you now. We will be back next week, same place, same time. If you want to see Matt live today, head out to Crank and
Sweating in the parking lot at the Palladium.
All right, so until then, stay brutal, and you've been listening to Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Here's the sword.